There are few events in our lives where we can really honestly say, wow, this has made all the difference in the world in my life, and everything changes from here. In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, obviously it's making quite a difference in our lives, but it certainly has not made a difference like the resurrection has. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you.
And I'm thankful today, and I hope that I bless your heart today. The worship and us being together and doing a communion together. It's wonderful on what God has done today. I know he's moved in your homes. We are. It's interesting. The other first church, they met in homes. And so you're experiencing a little bit what the first church experienced, a meeting in homes. And I hope it's been a wonderful time for you today. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 4. I want you to stand with me in your home, if you will. And just the honor of God's word, Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. It says, therefore, we must pay a greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the message declared through angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first to the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard him, while God added his testimony by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit he distributed according to his will. We are thankful for God's word today. You can be seated in your homes, and I just want you to open up your heart to God's word today. This week, while I was preparing for this sermon and spending time in my office here and being able to really just be alone a lot, you know, to be honest with you, when I was sitting at a desk and a news that comes in from different areas that I'm going to say this, my people. My sheep, my congregation, the Lord has called me to shepherd and to lead. As reports come in of your loved ones losing loved ones from the virus, I know the Goodson family, and my heart still goes out to them, losing a wonderful brother and a uncle that they love very, very much. And now my heart goes out to them today. And I hear of some that are losing their other jobs, and my heart would mourn for all these moments in our lives, for our families within our church, and in just not our church, and all around the United States and the world. And I know your heart has done the same, and your heart hurts because of what's happening. The hurt and the pain that they are feeling, and just the unanswered questions they might have in these moments in their life. Those unanswered questions that we often have in these moments. You know, just watching their other families hurt and just but trying to be there for them. And it's been difficult, like we said, to have funerals or even have a church service. And we are here and we have preached to in a building that is empty. But praise God, I know that I'm not preaching to an empty building. I'm preaching hopefully into your hearts today as you watch online today. You know, as you're watching, and as you're taking all this in today, I just want you to open what God has for you. But the question from our author of Hebrews here, nobody knows who wrote Hebrews, that I was asserting is, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The answer is, there's no way we can. There's no way that we can escape. There's no way that we'll be able to. It's just a question there that is a very easy answer. There's no way we can escape if we neglect so great a salvation. The world is relying on us to proclaim the good news. You know, I call you my people, my sheep, my church. You are relying on me and some others to be there for you at every moment. God has placed this staff to be able to be there for you at any moment. Listen to me. The world is broken. There's so much to lose if we neglect this great salvation. There's so many things that's going to be lost if we as a church, if we ever get over getting saved. There's so many things that's going to be lost. There's so many people that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That there's so much that will happen if God's people don't continue to pray, but continue to love, continue to reach out. I'm so thankful today that the Lord has called me and pressed on me many years ago not to be a judgmental Christian, but be a Christian that offers a hand to come alongside people no matter where they are in this walk, no matter where they are, if they're away from the Lord, that he's called us be able to take the good news of the gospel. Someone told you about Jesus one day. Someone shared Jesus with you. And so he is calling us. There's so much to be lost if we neglect so great a salvation. If we get so caught up in ourselves and what our family is doing, we get so caught up in just ministering to our family, which God has called me to be the spiritual leader of my home and for me to minister to my family. They come first. But I'm thankful that he's called me beyond that too, to be that shining light to different things in our lives. And I hope and pray today that you're following what he's called you to. But it says here in verse 1, it says, therefore we must pay a greater attention to what we have heard, so we do not drift from it. It's interesting is that we have heard so much in the United States of America. Many of us know the Bible. Many of us know who Jesus is. Now, we live in a post-Christian a society now, and I said that in my small group, and they said, what does that mean? That means there was a time in our society that most people would have an understanding of right and wrong, of a Christian understanding of right and wrong. They knew a belief in Jesus. They knew who he was. And so it was like a society that still had some understanding of who Jesus is. We live in a society now that many do not know who Jesus is. They have no understanding of God's word. They don't know anything. And so we live in a post-Christian society. So for us, then when we hear God's word read, when we study God's word or hear a preacher of the gospel or a parent sitting and reading God's word to family, is that we need to pay a greater attention. In other words, he says, you might be paying attention, but the writer here is saying, we must pay greater attention. In other words, put your phones down. Turn the TV off. Try to turn the mind off and listen to his word and what his word is saying to us and what we have heard and what we have been preached. I try to go back to some sermons that my dad preached, and I can remember really two sermons very vivid that he preached. One was, "The way of a transgressor is hard." I remember that sermon. I remember him saying that the way of a transgressor is hard. And it is. The way of a sinner is hard. It's difficult. And I remember the sermon he preached about heaven, called "Out of Thinking About Home," out of this book here, out of Hebrews. And I remember those sermons; they were drowned deep in my heart. But it's come evident to us that just the drifting has taken a place within these people that the author is writing to. And you might, a couple of Sundays ago, I even preached a little bit on this and went this way. But the Lord impressed me again is that this word "the drifting," it is like a boat that is just moving along, and the captain is not paying attention that they have to make a turn. And he just drifts by it because he's not paying that great attention that God calls us to. It's just like me in a car. I'm going somewhere, and I've been on the interstate and not paying attention. And my exit, I'm supposed to exit off, and I don't because I'm not paying attention. And the author of the Lord is saying, we must pay attention to what we have heard. If we pay attention to what we heard, we begin to understand it. We begin to know it. We want more of it. We want to study it. And we want it to affect our lives. A lot of times we open God's word and we surface read it, and we're not paying attention at all on what the Lord is trying to reveal to us and to say to us. And I believe this time in our society, when a lot of us are at home every day, that the Lord has called us to have greater attention to his word, a greater attention to be able to read God's word. Because I know God's word, when it gets within our heart, it begins to change us. Pay attention to what we've heard. Pay attention on what we have heard and what we've seen. We need to pay attention to the stories. I remember it was always a great advantage to me as a preacher's kid back in the day when we had revivals. The evangelists would come and stay at our house. And I would sit to 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and just hear the stories after stories of what God was doing around our country with these evangelists. And I remember that influence in my life, and that these stories that we hear and these testimonies that we hear. You know, in Psalms 119, it says to hide God's word in our heart, to put it in our heart. And it says to what we heard from Abraham, Peter, James, and John, you know, in the New Testament, but toward John Wesley or a Martin Luther or my father, or college professors that I had, or Billy Graham and others, to hear and bring it in our heart what we've heard. You might have somebody that's been very special in your life that you've heard things from about the Lord. These testimonies of God doing things. It says here, therefore we must pay great attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift from it. This keeps us from drifting away because we're focused in, we're paying attention. For if the message that declared through angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience receive a just penalty. This word transgression, it means the stepping across the line. This thing, this transgression, this stepping across the line. It's a conscious moment, a conscious decision to step over a line into sin. It's what this word means. It's not something that we just happen to do. It's that this transgression is stepping over. It says, and this disobedience in our life. It says this is called a careless hearing. it's the word here. It's called careless hearing. It's basically saying unwilling to hear the truth. Oftentimes, it's hard for us to hear the truth, isn't it? Oftentimes, our pride rises up, and we want to rise back and fight against the truth. And when we know it's the truth, when we know that God is speaking truth within us through a story or through a song, or hopefully as you read God's word or through a testimony, it's that we have this disobedience that we don't want to hear the truth. Sitting in the counseling rooms with a husband and wife, often I see it when truth is being told, when truth is being given, they're still disobedient. They're still disobedient to that. As they close their ears, and the Lord is saying it's time for the church to open our ears and hear the truth and let the truth set us free. You're living in a bondage today. The Lord is calling you to hear. He's calling you to open your ears, open your heart today. Well, this is Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. We're celebrating him today. We're celebrating him what he died on the cross and he rose again on the third day. We are acknowledging that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins and rose again on that third day. So how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We don't. We don't escape. No one escapes. No one escapes. It says we pay attention because the Lord says in here that Jesus proclaims it. In other words, it was great that the angelic beings had proclaimed things. And even they were subject to judgment of what the angels proclaimed. But it says here that Jesus himself has declared it at the very beginning. It's that we pay attention because Jesus has proclaimed the truth. And the truth will set us free. Truth flows from him. It's we don't have to look anywhere else, but truth flows from him. And so we pay this greater attention that we would not neglect this great salvation. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time really that you said, thank you, Lord, for my salvation? Thank you, Lord, for saving me. When's the last time you really got down on your knees before the Lord and says, thank you for the salvation that you have freely given me as I turn my life over to you? Yes, we serve him and we pay great attention because Jesus proclaims it. But the message is given, it's very uniquely in the transmission, as I said before. It came to people that has gone before us who had seen Jesus. The author's saying, we have people around us as he was writing this, that have seen Jesus Christ. They saw him do the miracles. They saw him die on a cross. They heard about the resurrection. And so the transmission is from people that have actually seen Jesus. So we can believe in him and the truth that comes through Jesus. But it also says that the word effected is effective. The word is effective because of God has... We've seen things, signs and wonders and various other miracles by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're distributed as according to his will into us. And in other words, that the word is effective because Jesus changed lives. I've seen a lot of people turn over a new leaf. I've seen a lot of people make it for 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. But down the line, somewhere, the enemy's going to come in and steal again. But when Jesus changes, He makes a new creation within us. And so we listen to a greater and pay attention, because when I see people's lives change, it does something within me. I've often said this, is that I hear people say, well, I'm not going to church because my mom and daddy made me to go to church every Sunday. I'd gander to say is that the church they went to, they didn't see very much going on, because I was fortunate to see God move in people's lives. I've seen people set free from so many different things throughout my life. I did turn away from him for a few years. I'm just so thankful that what got me back on track, what I knew was the truth, is because of what I had heard and what I had seen and what I had read in God's word, that I knew that this was the truth and the truth will set us free. And so the message is effective when we see a life changed, when we see somebody that was broken and was undone, and we see Jesus come in and comes into their lives and changes them and makes them new. It's effective. It's effective. And so we cannot, how do we neglect such a great salvation when we see God doing so many different things? How can we? How can we? Why do we drift away when we see God doing something beautiful within our church, beautiful in the lives of people? I could get a whole bunch of people and line them across here and be able just to give them time to share where God has brought them from. I ran into a Beth this past week down at Miller, Will and Brayton, a Norris Will and Brayton, and she was getting her car serviced, and it was great to see her. And when I see her, it does something within my heart. It does something when I saw Beth, because I remember Beth when she walked into church through the Hope House, and what she looked like and how she acted to where she is now. She's married and the children are doing well, and what God has done. It just, when I saw her in that moment, it made a greater impact in my life and my salvation, knowing what God had done in her life. The word is effective through Jesus because it changes lives. And I'm so thankful to that. Now listen to me today. If we neglect such a great salvation, we're the church. We're the one that God has ordained to take the good news of the gospel to a broken world. If we neglect our salvation, folks, we're not going to know him. They're not going to know to come out of bondage into light, to be set free, if we neglect such a great salvation. There is no escape for anyone. Well, the Easter message is this. There is no escape unless we realize that Jesus is truly the way, that Jesus is the only way. We live in a society and in a universalism. I know some individuals that have gone to that way and says, you know, there's different paths to Jesus. You can choose whatever religion, that there's one God. I mean, there's one God and different a path to God. Christianity through Jesus, or through a Hinduism or a Buddhism, or whatever ism that you want to choose, you can get to God finally. It's really up to you. But I'm going to tell you today is that's wrong. It's dead wrong, and it will always be wrong. There's only way, and he's the way, the truth, and life. That's through Jesus Christ. And this Easter Sunday, as we want to proclaim that, we want to hear that. It's effective. that we don't drift away from the truth that God has called us to, that Jesus is the only way. I will never be ashamed to say that Jesus is the only way. I believe one day that we will be with him and like him. So I don't want to neglect such a great salvation. In just a minute, Christy gets ready. She's going to sing a song that's going to touch our heart here at the end. But I believe today what God is calling us to do, he's calling us in a way, in a manner to be obedient, to be obedient to his word, that we have heard things. Some of us have been raised in the church, and we know this word from Genesis to Revelation, but that word has really never impacted our lives. He's ready for you to stop drifting away. He's ready for you to stop running after and chasing different things. He's ready for you to set the sails and let the Holy Spirit to be the wind that takes us in the direction that he's called us to. That's what he desires today. That's what he wants to hear from his church, is that we see the truth and we know the truth. That he wants obedience instead of disobedience. He don't want us to cross that line into sin. But he wants us to be obedient to what we have heard. Let me say it again. On what we have heard. Many of us have heard testimonies in God's word. I want you to get this today. Move on what you've heard and what you know from God's word. Don't allow it to just go by the wayside. Because if we neglect such a great salvation, there is no escape. We're all in need of a Savior. He calls us into obedience. He calls us to be obedient. And when I know him, I can be obedient. At the very beginning of people, when they get saved, their obedience is unbelievable. My obedience was unbelievable. Because it's fresh and it's new. We have this new life in it. And you know, and we are human beings and we're full of emotions and it feels so good and we want to live right. We want to do right. We want to walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord. And so we're down the line, for whatever reason, we begin to drift. And it says here we drift away because we're not paying attention, greater attention to what we've heard. Out through Hebrews, you'll see many cloud of witnesses. I already talked about one time. You'll see about this drifting away, that by now we should be strong Christians, able to handle the meat of the word, but we're still cannot even handle the basic truths of the word. At the very beginning here, he calls us and wants us to pay greater attention. Why? This is why. Because there's people in your family that needs to know Jesus. There's people that you work with that needs to know Jesus. There's people that you're going to run into the grocery store. That's the only place that they say we're supposed to go. People are hurting today. People are afraid. People are scared. People have questions. Questions I've had people ask me, is this from God? This whole thing, this pandemic, is this from God? Let me tell you something. Sin entered in the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed. Sickness is a part of our world. Understand that. It rains on the just and the unjust. Christian people have died from this. But that doesn't shake my faith in Jesus on who he is. Because he's going to see us through, either here or when we're with him. You might be afraid today, but let me tell you the things I've heard. I've heard things through this Bible here. When Jesus would approach different ones, he would say things like, do not fear, it is I. It is I, do not fear. Do not fear. Even when the ladies went to the tomb, it says they, it's kind of interesting, they had joy and fear. Like, they weren't going, what's going on? I'm joyful. This is happening, but I have fear. And the master is so wonderful. At the end of that, of those verses read at the beginning, he says, don't fear. Just be in joy. Have joy. says in, I believe, Zechariah, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So what have you heard? You heard a lot today. Probably very little for me, but you've heard a lot today. You've heard some songs sung that has really ministered to my heart. Once again, I enjoy it because I get to walk up and down the aisles. I'm still saying that when we all get joined back together, I might walk up down the aisles. But there will come a day that we will be together. But until then, pay great attention on what you have heard. Listen to the saints. Let me take a step further. Listen to the lost. Listen to them. People want the church to listen. Read an article the other day. It says, people that stay in time don't want all the answers. They just want someone to listen. Seriously. That's what the trends are saying. It says, you don't have to have all the answers. We strive for. Even Paul, one of my favorite verses, he says, Lord, I may be able to answer everyone. That's my prayer that I can. But we don't have to have all the answers. But what we do have to know is that Jesus has changed us. And that we're moving in obedience. You know what? And a lot of times that's enough. And the Lord's going to give you what you need.
So today, as we have celebrated the resurrection, as we've reflected on what it means to our lives, let us commit ourselves in this week and the weeks to come to truly live in a way that means, wow, it is post-resurrection, and in Jesus being resurrected, His salvation, this great salvation, has made all the difference. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. Have a great week.